Okie dokie. So, in this podcast, I'm going to be talking a little bit about why the United States should change their foreign policy and are sort of conquer all almost. It seems like we really want to control a lot of what the rest of the world is doing at all costs. So, the way that I'm going to be kind of, I don't know, persuading, I guess you could say, as to why we should do so is because, well, the way that I'm going to be doing that is talking a little bit about the conflicts over the last 100, 150 years or so. 150 might be a little bit too much, but about 100 years or so. Within the Middle East, specifically between Saudi Arabia and Iran. I did a project specifically going into detail of the conflicts between Saudi Arabia and Iran in ethnic studies, and I really went into depth and learned quite a bit. So I think doing a podcast based on that same project, it would really be the best move because that's what I know most about, and I think it's an important issue that we need to talk about if we want to change the view of people in other countries on the United States. So we can be viewed more as a positive force, and so we actually are more of a positive force because right now, the Iranians definitely don't like us, and it's not necessarily our job to be best friends with the Iranians, but they're a country that is going to take a long time to reverse the chaos that we have ensued upon their people. So I'm gonna get into it a little bit. Specifically talking about Saudi Arabia and Iran, the big central splits between the two is Saudi Arabia's religious sect of Islam is Sunni, and Iran is Shia. And the reason why these are important is because these two countries have engaged in proxy warfare. And have been bitter rivals since really the beginning of the Saudi Arabian or the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia after the fall of the Ottoman Empire. The Saudi and Iranian rivalry is a fight over influence as the most popular or, most powerful country in the Muslim world, and specifically to have control over the Middle East. The Saudis, by far, have took over control of the Middle East for the most part, not completely, but I think they've definitely gained more ground because of their alliance with the United States. Than the Iranians have, and here's a couple reasons why. In 1938, the Saudi oil reserves spark major production and economic prosperity in the country, and along with bolstering an alliance with the United States. In the 1900s, and I believe the late 1800s, Iran was invaded twice by the Russians and the Brits. So, the United States has bolstered their alliance with the Saudis, and they were the Iranians. In turn, there was still a lot of chaos going on in the region. And, that kind of took a lot of time away from them to develop the country. In 1953, the United States, well, in 1953, the United States specifically the CIA, performed a coup of democratically elected Prime Minister Mohammad Mossadegh, and replaced and propped up the Reza Shah. He's a religious monarch. And the reason why the United States did this is because he was going to nationalize the oil industry in the country, and specifically have more relations with the Russians rather than the Brits and the Americans, which was a problem during the Cold War for the United States and the whole Western world. So they propped up Reza Shah, who then tried to transform the country into a secular Western nation. And this proved to be a problem, especially among the religious community in Iran. So this coup is just a start of mistakes the United States has made and continues to make. After that, in 1979, was the Iranian Revolution. This essentially was a revolution in Iran that overthrew Shah, and the religious community really started to take back the country, and the tides really started to turn. Then I believe it was the supreme leader, Ayatollah Khomeini, took control of the country, and the stage was really set for major conflict, and things were really going to get out of control in the Middle East after that, because the Saudis then started even bolstering their alliance even more with the United States, which then was really the beginning of proxy warfare between the Saudis and the Iranians. Eventually, Iraq tried to invade Iran, and that didn't go very well. It proved to be a problem. Then the Saudis stepped in Iraq and really started to bolster their alliance to really keep a wall between the Iranians and the Saudis, especially because the Saudi government was fearful that what happened in Iran, the Iranian revolution, could happen in Saudi Arabia, which is was a very good possibility. Forever, the United States, the United States intervention forever changed the path of history of the Iranians. And they don't forget that. That's not something that's going to go away. The Iran nuclear deal was really a plan to really try and fix relations with the Iranian people. And the fact that the United States has pulled out nowadays of that deal, and in turn this administration has clearly gotten money from the Saudi government, which, side note, that is a violation of the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution, but that's a completely different topic. But it's clear that that is the case. So it's unfortunate, but it doesn't look like the Iranians are probably ever going to trust us. And it's just going to escalate conflict even more in the Middle East, not to mention what we've done in Afghanistan, not to mention what we've done in Iraq. Just our relations specifically with Saudi Arabia and our intervention in Iran in the 50s is a major problem. And it's a pattern that keeps reoccurring. We then went to Iraq and Afghanistan. We tried to nation build in Afghanistan. And these are all kind of things that I gloss over with my grandfather, who actually was a Vietnam War vet. And we're going to hear a little bit from him here in a second. But this issue is something that I think, just like climate change and the rising cost of college and healthcare, is going to be one of the major problems that my generation will have to face. And, you know, you might think, oh, it's the Middle East. Why is this going to affect us? This is only going to get worse. The Russians have bolstered an alliance with Iran. Our strict alliance with Saudi Arabia is aiding a genocide in Yemen that we're more than likely aiding in war crimes in Yemen. We're refueling Saudi planes to help bomb churches and hospitals in Yemen. We are only making mistake after mistake. And the instability and in our intervention in the world is only getting worse. I think another possible example is Venezuela, but, you know, I think that's a completely different topic with a ton of different other variables. But it's worth looking at to see, you know, well, there's probably some CIA informants in the country right now, especially with how the United States and countless other countries have recognized the Venezuelan president as Juan Guaido instead of, to kind of dig our heels in to not support the leader regime, Nicolas Maduro. So, you know, that is something that all the facts really aren't there. And there's a lot of different reasons as to why this could be happening. But, you know, it could lead to another region being destabilized if we do step in and continue in making these same mistakes. And I feel like it only could lead into more reasons we lose countries on our side, and it's possible that they could create a better alliance with China or the Russians, which both proved to be United States' bitter rivals, obviously. So we're going to talk a little bit to my grandpa. We talk a little bit about some of these topics, and that we get to Saudi Arabia a little bit, but we talk about Iraq and Afghanistan. We really just ask his opinion. He's not a quote-unquote expert, and I don't claim to be either. It's an interesting conversation with him. So, yeah, here we go.
Leonard Siskowski, United States Navy, veteran from 1965 to 68. I was on a guided missile destroyer, and I also was on the battleship New Jersey that we put in commission on April 6, 1968, for Vietnam.
Okay. And what are your first, do you think that the United States intervenes in, it takes place, you know, we intervene in too many foreign conflicts and engage in places where maybe we shouldn't?
Well, I don't think we should have went into Iraq. Mm-hmm. And then Afghanistan, I'd say it was okay to go there, but not as long as we've been there now. We should have pulled out of there few years ago.
Right. Well, we also went into Afghanistan and we started nation building too. And we tried to build a giant road across the whole country to connect all the major cities. And we shouldn't be, would you agree that we probably shouldn't be involved in nation building?
No, I don't think we should. We should just let their country enforce their own laws.
Right. And the people of those countries should probably take things into their own hands rather than...
Yes.
Right. Okay. In what cases do you think the United States should intervene in relations across the world? You know, such...
Well, if they would do something to, like, one of our ships or something to an American property, you know,
right,
that they should, then we should, should step in.
Consequences.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There should be consequences like that. And as far as, like, Syria there, that I think we should have went in there because of all the people that he killed of his own people.
Saddam Hussein.
No.
Or, isn't
no,
it?
No, that, what was that guy's name? I don't know.
I think it's Saddam.
No, Saddam is Iraq.
Is he? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Why can't I remember his name?
What is that guy's name? Saddam.
Oh, yeah. Bashar al-Assad.
Yeah. He should be
taken, I should have known that.
He should be taken out of power.
Yeah, I mean...
Because he has killed millions, thousands of his own people.
Right.
And he's got to be stopped.
Right.
And then...
part of the problem...
The Taliban and ISIS... I think that... if they were here, came here, then, yeah, take care of them.
Right.
But as far as Iraq and Iran, they should take care of ISIS themselves.
Right.
You know, I mean, we only got advisors, I guess, but we got troops there, too.
Right.
And our troops are...
Part of the problem now is that we have... intervened in Afghanistan and Iraq, and we've created these security vacuums where we've created so much instability in the region to where now these violent extremist militant groups like ISIS are able to take advantage of the instability and overthrow governments and assume control in a lot of what... a lot of the areas that we were in Iraq, including multiple cities. The one thing right now, I'm not particularly for any more intervention in Iraq. I don't think we should have any more troops in Iraq. The only thing I would agree with is probably protecting the Kurds in Iraq. And the Kurds have been fighting historically for, you know, years, a long time, to have their independence and to have democracy. So, I mean, if there was any sort of group that I would be for protecting, it would be the Kurds, but we are indefinitely, well, we're funding a lot of terrorist groups and regimes to begin with. We're fighting both sides of the war in Syria, and, you know, as much as I don't like Bashar al-Assad, we're basically fighting a proxy war with Russia because Assad's propped up by Putin. So as much as I don't like that, but I feel like the longer we stay in Syria, we're running the risk of escalating tensions in Syria, and in turn escalating tensions with Russia.
ISIS is already just about... taken care of.
Yeah, hopefully.
So, as far as land goes.
Right.
And that they had...
Right, and the Kurds are gaining...
taken,
The Kurds are gaining more power too. As long as Turkey, as long as we can get Turkey to comply, the Kurds are gaining more ground, and and they're largely better off than they used to be.
Oh yeah.
So that's, I mean, that's kind of a good thing for, you know, for the Kurds. But the other thing is, do you think that the United States should continue to have relations and fund Saudi Arabia?
Saudi Arabia. No. No, I don't.
I agree.
All right, so that was a pretty good conversation with my grandfather and his personal opinions on our foreign policy in the Middle East, you know, and our what he thinks that the United States should do. We had a thing. I think we had a little differing opinion about Afghanistan, but I was able to actually unintentionally change his opinion slightly there on Afghanistan, as we did nation build there, and it's a lot of money that we lost and things like that. So, you know, that was cool to kind of get that conversation and see what he had to say. So yeah, so that's going to be the end of this, and I hope this is, I don't know, maybe a little bit more in depth than my presentation was in ethnic studies, but I think this is should be pretty good, and we talked a little bit about a couple different topics. It may have dragged on a little bit, but with the specific analogy of the Middle East being what I wanted to talk about as to why we should change our foreign policy and what we have done in the Middle East, I think it was a really good example. So, you know, doing that, I think, lays a good framework that we can really say, hey, this is why we need to change the United States foreign policy and how we handle conflict in the rest of the world, because going in and invading and bolstering alliances with aggressive and brutal regimes while destabilizing the rest of the region just so we can get money is a real problem. And I think, you know, this highlights a lot of the problems that we have in our government, specifically with you know, neocons and neoliberals, because these people really don't care about the issues. They're just bought by corporate interests and interests, you know, specifically military interests. So when we do these things, I think there's a lot of these big politicians that really don't care. They're just doing it because they have to, or it's, you know, more beneficial for them. So there are some that do care, and hopefully we can get a president in 2020 that does. Although, you know, some would say that our president now is trying to remove soldiers from different wars in the Middle East, but I highly doubt that happening. So, especially with the neocons around him, specifically John Bolton and National Security Advisor, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. So, you know, those two guys being around, really calling the shots. You know, Trump's just a puppet at this point. So, yeah, but that's going to end this. And, yeah, hope you enjoyed.